Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. Happy Labor Day, everybody, and happy Labor Day to you, all you workers out there who are getting a paid day off, and happy Labor Day to you small business owners who have the privilege of paying for that paid day off. And so we're proud of you. I hope your employees say thank you. Greg Murad is with us, folks. Greg is vice president of the National Right to Work Committee. We've used that term here on the show before, right to work. You've heard me talk about it before, but this is the first time Greg's been on the show, and I'm going to get him. I asked him to join us today to talk to us a little bit about the other side of the issue of the labor movement. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here. You know, Labor Day, Greg, as you well know, was started basically to appease the unions in the 19th century, and as I talked about earlier in the hour on my show. And it was mostly just, it was the labor unions, and there, some of the things that were going on, they were able to get this worked out, and good for them, that's fine. And for a long time in America's history, labor unions served a real good purpose, a good purpose. I grew up in a labor household, and I'm convinced that my life was better off because, in those days, because my dad and my mom were both union members. But everything has its day, everything has come, everything has... You know, has a day where it comes and goes, and I believe unions day has come and gone, and therefore and a lot of Americans do too, because that we have something called right to work in a number of states, and I want you to tell the audience what the right to work situation is.
Sure, the right to work principle is real simple. It says that unions ought to have a right to exist, and everybody ought to be free to join them. But people should also be equally free not to participate in a union,
right,
and not to be forced to pay dues to a union as a condition of employment.
And so folks, what that simply means is, if you are in a non right to work state, you don't have to join the union, but you still may be required to pay dues to the unions, even though you're not a member. Is that right, Greg?
That's correct. In the non-right-to-work states, there are still 27 states that have not yet passed right-to-work laws. And as you might expect, the right-to-work states have a distinct advantage in job creation and economic performance, because people want to operate in a right-to-work environment where people can be free to choose whether a union actually serves their interests.
So the only way you can be compelled to pay dues if you're not a union member, is if there is a union in your organization, though, right?
That's correct.
So if your company is not union, they can't make you. But what if there's, you know, more than one class of workers in a company, and only the Teamsters, let's say, unionize the truck drivers?
Then only the truck drivers can.
So all you can do, if you're in the class, if you work in the class that's unionized, you can choose not to be a member. But is it automatic that you have to pay dues?
It is a part of the contract.
Yeah.
So the unions, of course, always insist on that clause in the contract.
Right.
So it is very, very rare to find a union contract that doesn't have that clause.
So in a state like South Carolina, which is a right to work state, the union workers, if you're a Teamster or a pipe fitter or whatever, electrician, carpenter, if you choose not to be a member of the union, where the other people in your group of worker, your class of workers are union members, then you work right alongside of them. You're not a union member, and you don't pay the dues.
That's correct.
And nobody
you
can.
Are still, you
and
are
nobody
still
can
stuck
make
with
you.
The union contract.
Say again.
You are still stuck with the union contract. You have to work under it. Under its ridiculous rules and its ridiculous last-in, first-out setup, and then under its pay scale that might or might not be better than you do on your own, in
That's
many
right.
cases not.
That's right.
You have to pay for representation you don't want, did not ask for.
Right. So there are 23 right-to-work states.
That's correct. Indiana passed the 23rd right-to-work law this year, setting up an island of right-to-work up in the middle of the Rust Belt.
Right.
And they've already seen a number of companies have moved into the state saying, yeah, we moved there because of the right-to-work law.
Absolutely. There's a great story in South Carolina that we're going to talk about in the next segment a little bit. And then I've got a story. You talked about the ridiculous rules, first in, first out, that kind of thing. I've got a horror story to tell you about, Greg, when we come back, that I know about personally, folks, where those rules cost a lot of jobs, but the unions held on to their principles, by golly, but hundreds of people lost their jobs because of it. We're going to come right back after these messages. Greg, give me your website quickly.
www.nrtwc.org.
Check it out. Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.